It was only after Shirley went to Emily's house that she understood what her new friend had said. A cello was a big violin that sat on the floor. A progressive was someone who called her mother and father by their first names. A psychiatrist was a doctor who never wore a white coat and kept an office in the basement of a brownstone house furnished with a desk, a chair, and a leather couch and lots of books, but no glass-enclosed shelves of scissors, needles, vials, bandages, or medicines, herbal or otherwise. A committee woman wore charcoal sweaters and skirts of scratchy material and wrote notes on a bulletin board while talking to other committee women on the telephone. Board games were not played with a ball. Charades was fun. Shirley's mother heartily approved of this new friendship, for never once did Shirley return from Emily's dirty, tattered, or wounded. Never once without a borrowed book to read. Emily had the entire collection of Nancy Drew mysteries. Her brothers had every adventure that Zane Grey ever wrote. Best of all, the Levy family played chamber music every afternoon, thus broadening Shirley's cultural horizons. In the beginning, Shirley only listened politely, hunting for the tune, because all too often each instrument sang its own song and confused her. How do you listen to several conversations at once? Still, she admired the ritual, envying the Levies the pleasure they took in one another's company, wishing her cousins lived nearby so she could have an orchestra of her own. Only one aspect of her friendship with Emily would have displeased her mother, but she was not likely to find it out, and so Shirley did not trouble herself too much over it. One afternoon, when they were alone in the house, Emily closed her arithmetic book and whispered, "Can you keep a secret?"
"Of course."
"Will you swear it in blood?" Shirley thought it over and asked,
"How much blood?"
"Not much."
How much was not much, she wondered.
Before she had a chance to inquire further, Emily rushed out of the room. She returned brandishing a long pin with a pearl on one end.
"Give me a finger."
Shirley reluctantly offered a pinky. With a quick motion, Emily stabbed it, and while Shirley stared at the blood oozing out, her friend performed the same operation on her own finger. Then solemnly pressing pinky upon pinky, she said,
"Swear unto death that it will be our secret no matter what."
"I swear."
Unblinkingly from behind the glasses, Emily insisted,
"Swear the entire oath."
"I swear unto death."
Shirley hesitated. Grandmother had always forbidden the saying of that word.
"Say it, and the gods will be tempted to make it so."
But how could she refuse now? Her best friend was waiting. Perhaps, she prayed, the gods only spoke Chinese, never studied English, would not recognize temptation in another language.
"Death, that this will be our secret no matter what."
The corners of Emily's mouth lifted into a wicked smile.
"Come,"